Take your Bibles and turn over to Matthew chapter 4. And do keep your Bible that. We're going to look at a lot of places today in Scripture. Matthew chapter 4. The Bible has a way of defining itself unlike any other thing in any other book in the world. If you look at verse number 1 of Matthew chapter 4, he's going to deal with the temptation of our Lord. It says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." Now you'll notice that Spirit there is a little s. There are some folks that teach that every time you see the little s, that deals with a man's spirit and not with the Holy Spirit. That may be the case, but you need to look at all the references before you make such a statement, because that is not a misprint in your Bible. Here's why. Look over at Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Parallel passage, both passages inspired. Luke chapter 4. Almost the identical statements made over here. You'll see over here in Luke chapter 4, it says, "And being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, and was led by the Spirit," capital S, "into the wilderness." Now in Matthew 4, he said he's led of the Spirit, and that indicates the source. That was internal. The Holy Spirit wasn't in front of Jesus, walking in front of him. Jesus was looking at him and walking behind him. It was all internal. Because that's where God speaks to people now. Our example for that is our Lord. We go to Him and we see that He still speaks to His people. You got to be careful, though, of voices that go against the Bible, though. That's the only catch about that. If somebody tells you that God told them something and it don't line up with this book, it wasn't God.
Yeah.
I don't care how spiritual it sounds or whatever. But we see over here in Luke chapter 4, he's led by the Spirit, which indicates the conformity with, and this usage, the Holy Spirit's there, and he's the organizer. And the way the Holy Spirit of God speaks to people is to their internal spirit. When the Bible says you are dead in trespasses and sins, that doesn't mean you're physically dead, because obviously you are still breathing and your eyes move and so forth like that. It doesn't mean you're mentally dead, because obviously what happens with people is if they're mentally dead, they can't respond at all. But if they're spiritually dead, and that's what happened to Adam and Eve when the day they took of that tree, they didn't die physically that day, but they did die spiritually.
Right.
They lost the image of God, of the body, soul, and spirit, the day they partook of that thing. The spirit died within them. So when God says you are dead in trespasses and sins, he's talking about that spirit inside you being dead. Now, when you get saved and Jesus said you must be born again, that obviously is not a physical birth, because you don't go back into your mother's womb, just like he points out in John chapter 3. And as we see this thing and we look at the Word of God and we see what happens with this, that we see that Jesus, being led by the Spirit, he obviously did not need to be born again, because he was born of a virgin and born sinless and God in the flesh. Mm-hmm. However, he was led by an internal spirit.
Yep.
He was full of who? The Holy Ghost.
Yep.
He was led by the Spirit and led of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. He's our example in these matters.
Right.
And if you'll notice, as we look at this thing today, I want to preach to you on spiritual Christianity. Spiritual Christianity. A lot of folks know about the word Christianity. A lot of folks know about hearing about the word spiritual. But those things go together, because God ordained that in His church be led by the Spirit and led of the Spirit, and that His people be led by the Spirit and His people be led of the Spirit. Now, if you'll notice, today we're going to look at this. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you, and God, we thank you for everything that you're doing today. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that God somehow in some way Lord, that you'll work on our hearts and work on our lives today while we're in the house of God. We pray as we look at these Bible verses and look at the teachings from the Word of God, that your Spirit would teach us, Lord God. And we cry out for help according to Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. We pray today, God, that you'll move and do a work in me and help me, God, to preach the Word of God today. According to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. And all this we ask in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. As we look today, we're going to discover two major things that the Holy Ghost provides the born-again believer. The first one is the source of Christianity. If you take your Bible and turn over to Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 2, we find something peculiar going on over here in Revelation chapter 2. We find seven literal churches over here in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. And we find literally, we find that these are also representative of seven clear church ages from the time of Christ until the time of Christ, the rapture of the church that starts in chapter 4, verse 1 of Revelation. The church is not mentioned again over to the end because the church does not go through the tribulation. If you'll look down in Revelation chapter 2, God's church is from the source, and the source is the Holy Spirit of God. Galatians chapter 5, verse 18 says, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. God bless a bunch of people that want to try to follow that law. Boy, that thing's more complicated than we got understanding for.
Yep.
But he said, we're led of the Spirit. Look at this, Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Underline that, what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You may want to make a note in your Bible. That occurs seven times in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, once to each church. And by that, God's church is from the source. The source is the Holy Spirit of God. He birthed Christians into this world, and He's the one who keeps the body of Christ there together. He's the one that when we get raptured out of here, it's going to be when God calls us home, the Holy Spirit of God's going to be the one to take us out of here in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye.
Yep.
And how's He going to do that? Because we're sealed to Him forever.
Right.
Can I point out to you that He says what the Spirit saith unto the churches? And listen, this is the post-apostolic era over there. They're starting to have an influx of people trying to teach all things. And He tells them they found they were liars and so forth. But He says what the Spirit saith in the churches. Look down at verse 11. We're dealing with a persecuting era where the Rome persecuted the church. He says in verse 11, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith in the churches. What the Spirit saith in the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. They were being persecuted to death. He said, but listen to the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
So would the Spirit of God lead me to trouble? He led Jesus right to the devil. Now, ain't that something?
Yeah.
So how do you explain that? I don't. I believe it. I believe that if God leads you to something like that, He's not going to lead you to it. He's going to lead you through it.
Well,
so how's He going to do that? Because 1 Corinthians tells us He's got a door out of the way of that temptation. That door is still Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And look at this one. If you look down at verse number 17, we get over here and it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. See that thing? What the Spirit saith unto churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saying, he that receiveth it. So we've got the source of Christianity, the Holy Spirit of God speaking to the first church there, the second church age, the third one. We get down here, the rise of the papacy comes up. They're going to start persecuting churches and persecuting people. And in verse 29, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Holy Spirit of God still working through God's church, still alive and well, still doing everything He was doing up until this point, and still able to lead His churches, and still able to speak to His churches. And I noticed that even with all this persecution going on, He said, listen to the Holy Spirit of God. Then you get down to chapter 3, you go down to verse number 6. We got the church that has the testimony that thou livest and art dead. He says to them in verse 6, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. What's God's message to them? Listen to God. How's He going to speak? Is it going to be thunder out of the sky? No, it's going to be through the Spirit. Capital S every time. Look at that. Capital S, every one of these. And if you look down in the next church age in Philadelphia, if you look down to verse number 13, you'll see it again. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. again, the good church, he's even talking to them. How about that?
Yeah.
What did he leave them to do? Missions. He is, listen, send out missionaries. Send the gospel all over the world. Then we get down to the present area where we found out from Dr. Grady a few weeks ago that our main thing that we're having to overcome is materialism in this day and age. He gets down to verse number 22 and warns them as well, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." So we got God's church is from the source of Christianity, and that source is the Holy Spirit of God. For he said, "But if you be led of the Spirit, if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law." I look at every one of those occurrences and I see this. God's church is alive and well, even in this last day and age. He's got one open somewhere. And that thing tells me that he said, if you just listen to him, he says there, if you listen to what the Spirit saith on the churches, you'd have the best church age in your own heart that you can't have in your own church sometimes. Because God is the source of Christianity and he works through the Spirit of God. And we talk about the source of Christianity. Let's look over at Psalm 68. Psalm 68. God's church is from the source. The Spirit of God leads that. And then God's company is from the source. A lot of folks have never realized this, but God wants them to do something. And one of the strangest things I hear out of people is, "I know God's got me here for a purpose. What if I let you in on that purpose today? Would you do it? If I told you exactly what that purpose is, would you be part of it?" See, a lot of folks say, "Yeah, I'd do it," until they find out what it is.
Right.
Psalm 68, verse 11. "The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it." Get a load of that. Great was the company. What do we got in church? We got a company of people coming together. Born again, sins paid for under the blood of Jesus Christ. And according to that, the Lord gave the word. How did he give the word again? By inspiration. And listen to this. He said, "The Lord gave the word, and great was the company of those that published it." Who's that? That's the will of God. That's us. So how are we going to publish it? We give out tracts, we give out CDs, we give out links to sermons and things like that. And we focus on the Word of God and making it part of what we're doing to publish it. Publishing doesn't mean exactly you have to print it on paper. You might have to preach it. You may have to teach it. You may have to hand it out. But get that thing out there and let the Word of God do the trick, because it's going to be what the Spirit saith unto people. It's going to get the job done anyway. I notice that God's company is from the source. This is a spiritual source. You run across that word inspiration in the Bible and you find out that the inspiration of the Almighty giveth man understanding over in the book of Job. And that thing ties together with 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 about the inspiration of scriptures and things. And what it shows us is the root word of inspiration is spirit, and the Spirit wants to work in people's lives and he wants their company to be great. And if you want your company to be great, you got to do it by publishing the Word of God. I don't know how it's going to turn out for them, but I know Chick-fil-A's closed on Sunday, and they got Bible verses on things up there. You know, listen, before they came to our town, this is what you got.
"May I take your order, please?" "All right, come on up."
Or my favorite, you got the little voice that done this. "Hi, welcome to Fast Food Restaurant. We're ready to take your order now." And you hear this right behind the little recording. "Wait a minute!" Thanks to them coming to town, we got this. "Hey, how are you today? Would you order whenever you're ready? I'll have your order prepared for you at the next window. Thank you so much. I'll be prepared to serve you there." Now, all of a sudden, all the, "Wait a minute," got fired, and they teach them how to talk rattling things now. I know it did. Listen, I noticed that a year into that thing, I thought, man, all the restaurants got friendlier on the drive-thru since they came to town. They might be something to that, mightn't they?
Yeah.
I wonder how much more of an impact our churches would have around us right now if this church would be a great company that published the Word of God.
Right.
"Well, you know, we got all excuses or no." Great company.
Right.
Published. There it is. Who does that? The source of Christianity, the Holy Spirit of God. I had a man tell me one time, instead of taking and putting 50 tracts on one phone booth, put them here and there. Let God lead you to put them things out. And you'll be surprised who will get them things and who will wind up with them.
Right.
There's some way or another God uses that to help people. It's one of the greatest ministries I've ever seen where you let the Holy Spirit of God lead you and taking the Word of God where it's supposed to go.
Yeah.
Say, how do you know it's going to work? Because He said His Word wouldn't return to Him void.
Yeah.
And if His Word don't return to Him void, I know He's going to do something with it. If you'll turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. God's church is from the source. God's company is from the source. And then here's a strange one for you. God's calling is from the source. The Spirit of God calls men into the ministry to do a particular thing in a particular way, and He puts them where He wants them to do something He wants them to do. And this is God's calling, and it also is from the inside. If somebody came up to you and said, I believe God's called you to do such and such, you make sure God called you to do that before you go out and ruin your life trying to make yourself part of that calling. There's been many a people that comes along and they'll take a church, man will take a church, and he hears down the road that guy's got three preacher boys out of church. He wants three or four too, so he starts calling people to preach out of his church. Don't do that to people. Let God call them.
Right.
Say, how's God going to call them? Through the Spirit, just like He called you. Verse 11, and He gave some. Who's He? The Lord. How'd He do this thing? Through the Spirit of God. Remember we pointed out that He's literally the source of Christianity. His church and His company's from it. This is what it'll produce. And He gave some apostles. Were they in the first church? Sure they were. What'd they do? They wrote down the Word of God. They wrote it down. Under the inspiration of God. And it says, and He gave some prophets. Were there prophets in those days? Sure there were. John the Baptist was the last Old Testament prophet in the sense of prophet like that. And that could predict the future and things like that. The Bible's a book of prophecy written by men who had the spirit of prophecy in them to write the thing down. Get this. And some evangelists. You know what one of the most craziest things in the world is? To see that title evangelist on somebody that never evangelized nobody. Give the gospel out. Try to win people to Christ. That's what an evangelist does. And then he says some pastors. What do? They baptize, they perform the Lord's Supper, they go out and give the gospel out there, they teach the people the Word of God. And then he said, and some teachers, and teachers down there, what do? They teach the Word of God. Who does all this operation right here? The Spirit of God. And God's calling is from the source of Christianity, and He's got it laid out there like He wants it to do, and He'll put them where He needs them to be so He can use them as He sees to use them so they can publish the Word of God in the house of God and outside the house of God to get people to come to the salvation of God. See, He's the source. He's where all these blessings come from. When Jesus Christ said in John 15, He said over there about the thing about, He said, ye are My friends and so forth like that. How's He a friend with you? You don't see Him. Mm-hmm. He's through the Spirit of God.
Right.
And I'll point something out to you about the Spirit of God that seems like nobody seems to get this thing. But in that last church age over there in Revelation chapter 3, that's the one where people are caught up in materialism, right? And He said, hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You know what the Spirit's not saying to the churches? Hey, look at me, I'm the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Hey, pray to me, I'm the Holy Ghost. He didn't say a thing about that.
Right.
What's the Spirit say to the churches? If I be lifted up, talking about Jesus, He'll point up everybody to Jesus. If there's a spirit wanting to call attention to itself, that's not the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And again, He said there, He's going to do this thing right here, and He tells them why. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. What's God going to do with these Spirit-called offices? He's going to take them and put them all together to do something, and that something is to lead His people. Has it ever occurred to y'all five of them things are found right here in the Bible? It took all five of them to get the Bible to us? Has it ever occurred to you that down through the ages that we look through this thing, and where we see God moving in people, they exemplify this office? Has it ever occurred to you that when you look at these five offices, you don't ever have to have one of them telling you what they are, God will tell you? Ain't that something? That's like when they say, now wait a minute now, the Lord's half-brother, James, he wrote the book of James. Excuse me, I think it's an apostle James wrote it. Because the same people say that, so there's humanistic styles in writing that show up even under the inspiration of God. Chapter 3, a little helm drives a big old ship. Who done that, the carpenter or the fisherman? deep stuff, man. So, whoa, what about Mark? Well, no, that's right. The Catholic Church told me that Mark was written by Peter. Watch this. At the end of Paul's life, you know what he says? Bring with you John Mark. And right before he says, bring the parchment. You want to tell who to write what? It wasn't Peter. So how do you know? Mark's written too well. Remember that humanistic thing about writing? Peter didn't have that much of an education. His writings reflect that. And it's the same Holy Spirit in both men. So who wrote it down? Mark did, obviously. Who is he listening to? Paul. Wow. Can you hear what the Spirit saith in the churches? So where'd you get all that? From this book right here. I've learned something over the years. You know what it is? If they conflict with this book, they're wrong. This book's right. So how do you know? Because of the source.
Right.
Because of the source. If you look down there in John chapter 16. John chapter 16. We're talking about the source of Christianity. And in John chapter 16, Jesus introduces us to something. He showed us God's church. He showed us God's companies from the source. God's callings from the source. And in John chapter 16, verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, who's this guy right here? The Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. The Comforter is the Holy Spirit of God. When people are not seeing comfort, it's because they're not letting Him do all the comforting. But I noticed something here. He says that here's what the Comforter will do. He's going to reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. The Comforter is going to do all that. So God's Comforter is from the source of the Holy Spirit of God acting as the Comforter there. And when He acts as the Comforter there, here's what He comforts us with. He said he's going to reprove the world of sin, righteousness, judgment of sin because they believe not on me. You say, that's more conviction. You call it what you will, but when He gets the hold of you and starts showing you Jesus, that's comfort.
Right.
When He starts showing you that you're going to hell, but there is a way out, that's comfort. He says that next verse of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. What is that? That's comfort. Why? Because the Spirit of God lets me know it's going to be okay. He's coming back, but until He comes back, I got Him.
Right.
And He said of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. God will never let you walk headlong into something that's going to bring you into a lot of problems without warning you by the Comforter. So how's He going to do it? 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
Right.
Comfort and comforter right there. All of that's just the source of Christianity. But we look also, we see the strength of Christianity. Look over Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, in particular about this very subject, we saw Galatians 5:18 says you're led of the Spirit. Jesus was led of the Spirit. Luke chapter 4, He's led by the Spirit. Then we see in Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As many as are led by. See, God's salvation is only in the Holy Spirit of God. One of the things that I've yet to hear a lot talked about is this. I've taken soul winners courses, I've read books on soul winning, I've done all that, but you rarely find somebody saying, let God lead you while you're trying to win somebody to Christ.
Right.
They'll teach you how to put a piece of candy up under the seat to get them on the bus, and how to get the most visitors, to get the special day, and all this other stuff. But when it comes to letting the Holy Spirit of God work in that believer's life, I'm afraid we have more problems finding out where that is than anything else we do. And I see that He's the strength of Christianity by that word by. Not only is He the source, He's the strength. And God's salvation is only in the Holy Ghost. The biggest problem people have when they look back on their life and say, have I been born again? All you got to look back is when He dealt with you. So what if I don't know the date, but date or not, do you know He's dealing with you? So how do I know it was God dealing with me? Well, the devil wouldn't want you to get saved, would he?
Come on.
He wasn't going to tell you you're going to hell and Jesus Christ is the way of salvation and lift him up to you that you might be drawn unto him.
Right.
You're confusing the devil with somebody. That ain't how the devil works.
Yeah.
You know how the devil works? He takes good people that are saved, that get a little sideways with God, and they get away from their Bible, they get away from the Word of God, they're not cleansed by the washing of the Word, and all of a sudden hear this, you need to get saved. If you were saved, you wouldn't do such and such. And then after a while, you know what happens? You know that God saved you, but now all of a sudden you think, I need to get saved again. Maybe I've lost my salvation. Well, Jesus said, I've lost none.
Right.
And if he's lost none, you his, he ain't lost you either.
Come on.
But what it will do is this. It will cause an issue of pride in people's life where it'll become a thing of, I've sinned, but it wasn't my fault. I was lost. I had to get really saved this time. And an issue of pride will boil over into all these preachers where they're going to church of 10 and have 30 professions in 3 years and still be running 10. That's 10, 10, and 10, see? Well, I wasn't really saved last year in revival. This year, I really got saved. Did anything change? Because when the strength of Christianity is there, you're led by the Spirit of God, right? That's what Romans 8:14 just told you. You're led by the Spirit of God. You're sons of God. So if there's no strength in that thing, why is there no strength in it? A lot of the problem people have is this. That pride won't let them go down and say, well, I sinned. I need to get right with God. Instead of saying that, oh, I need to get saved again. Are you listening? Because when you do that thing over and over, you know what that thing is? That's something you don't want to put on your car. It's called a retread. You know what happens with a retread? Go out there on 95 and look. There'll be stretches of them laying in the road out there. You know why? Somebody said, oh, we're going to run retreads. They're cheaper. Believe you me, you don't want to run retreads on something that's going 75 miles an hour down a highway. Now, if you're a truck driver doing that, well, you got 18 wheels. If one of them goes out, you're still good, right? What about you and I that's got four? You know what happens when one tire goes out? Especially if it's one of them front ones. I had one blow up on me. I even had the warning signs. The little tire pressure thing came on. I thought, what in the world? And all of a sudden I heard it go, bop, 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 bop. You know how hard it is to steer a car at 75 miles an hour, one tire going blah, 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 and the other one going fine? Scary stuff. But listen to this. If you're led by the Spirit of God, you're the sons of God. That's strength. If the Spirit of God is with you, you've got the strength of God Almighty in you. I notice that also we see that God's salvation is only in the Holy Spirit. You look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, next book over, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We find also that God's service is only in the Holy Spirit of God. Here's what the service of the Lord will do for you right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. It says here, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So what does God's Spirit do? He strengthens the work. He strengthens the work so that God's service is literally in the Holy Spirit of God. And it's worked through spiritually before it's worked through any committee. You know what my favorite thing to do is not know a church is full of committees. And they call me and let me preach and I get up and blow them committees out. It looks like, listen, it looks like they're choking on a roll of dimes when I'm doing it. I had one guy tell me at service, he said, that ain't right. That ain't right what you're saying. I said, wasn't that right? He said, there is committees in the Bible. I said, where are they? Well, I know they're in there. I'll have to find them. I said, go find them. You got 24 hours. I said, when you find them, I want one too. But until said time, let's run the church by the Spirit of God and by the spiritual manual he gave us, the Word of God, and we'll be all right. That's Southern for it'll be all right. Listen, he said there, what did he say there about that thing? He said that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to profit with all. Everybody gets part of that. God uses everybody in the church. See, people get to this point in their life, they say, well, I don't feel like God can use me. No, that's the devil talking. That's your lazy flesh talking. Well, you know, I sprained my big toe on the way of getting out of my Cadillac. That's your flesh talking. I look in the Word of God and I see the strength of Christianity. The Holy Spirit of God says, come on, let's go. What are we going to do? If we ain't going to do nothing else, I'm going to show up and make everybody else happy if I can. Or make a mad one or the other. One or the other. Every time you show up at the house of God, you are a blessing to someone, whether you realize it or not.
Right.
And if you backslide on God, you take more with you than you think you took.
Right. Yeah.
I see people come in the house of God, get firmly planted in the house of God. The devil tempts them and takes them off the course. And the next thing, five people are following them.
Yeah.
What happened to them? John chapter 21, Peter said, I go a-fishing. They said, we also go with thee.
Yeah.
Ain't that something how that worked out? But when that Spirit's given to profit with all, when we all get together, guess what that is? That's not just a gathering, that's a spiritual gathering. It's in the Holy Spirit of God, and it shows the strength of Christianity.
Yeah.
I notice also we've got in Romans chapter 8, back over to Romans chapter 8 over there, we also have the prayer in the Spirit of God. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he searcheth the hearts and knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I've tried to tell people this for years. I hope you believe me and you've already done this. But take these two verses right here and listen. Realize that the Holy Spirit of God is your prayer partner. And every time you get alone, pray. You just keep on praying for as long as you possibly can. Pray what you know and he'll pray what is. The more time you spend in prayer, you'll see more things happen. And here's why. Because while you're praying, you're reaching heaven because of the blood of Jesus Christ. But he's in heaven seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's there with you praying in the perfect will of God. And he said, with groanings which cannot be uttered. Sometimes he can't let you in on everything, but he will do a lot of things.
Yeah.
Sometimes that groanings which cannot be uttered, you get down there and slobber and cry and everything else and won't be able to say a whole lot. But guess what? He's getting right through with every word.
Right.
And what will end up happening is God will do things that not only will amaze you, it'll turn your life upside down because you'll see God work through your prayer life and you'll see things happen that you know is good things to happen and you don't really remember praying for it, but he was.
Right.
See, God's supplication, when he's praying right there, he's praying with you, through you, to himself, by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he's doing all that praying, guess what? He's got to have somebody here on their knees praying. That's got to be us. I noticed that also that not only that, but we'll look at Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. An occurrence happens over here. They get led up there to that mountain up there, and they're going to get up there and do something. Matthew chapter 17. Now, we've done established the fact that Jesus is led by the Holy Spirit of God. He's led internally by the Holy Spirit of God. It says, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment as white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. Now notice something. He said, let's give some things. Let's make some tabernacles. We're going to have the house of Moses, house of Elijah, and house of Jesus. And to man, that seems like a good thing because, listen, it was Moses that was led of the Spirit of God and led by the Spirit of God to take 2.5 million people out of Egypt, take them out in the desert for 40 years, and bring them on an 8 days journey in just under 40 years to sanctify that crowd, to get the tabernacle out there and do all the things God wanted to do. Elijah comes on the scene over here. He's led of the Spirit of God. He does some great things for God. He prophesies. And to this record, to record in this record, he's the only preacher to outpreach 400 false prophets in one setting. Every one of them. Because they couldn't do what God did through him. So that sounds like a good idea in our flesh. It sure is. But the Holy Spirit of God don't honor our flesh. Not even good men. It says here, verse 5, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Listen to Jesus. I see that God's satisfaction is only through what his Spirit leads his people into. You ever hear some great ideas? I've heard some great ideas before. I've even seen other churches do some great ideas. I thought, man, that's a great idea. Yet when we tried them here, they didn't work. And I thought, man, it worked there. Why didn't it work here? And then God lead me to something else and do that thing, and it worked here, wouldn't work there.
Right.
What's the difference? The Holy Spirit of God's leading. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. The Holy Spirit's going to lead you to uplift Jesus. The Holy Spirit's going to lead you in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. The Holy Spirit of God is going to be the one that's going to give you the things you need to go forward every day for Him. And the Holy Spirit of God, listen to this, is the one that would bring that conviction later on when Peter, James, and John, when Jesus wasn't there, not to be magnifying Moses and Elijah, but to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's who pleases God. You see, the strength of Christianity is the Holy Spirit of God working in believers. And that strength only comes from Him. Do you know how tiring it is to be awake for 2 or 3 days? Have you ever done that before and something happened, you had to be awake that long? I mean, we were talking to somebody the other day, and I won't give out their name. We were talking to somebody. The very day that Jordan was born in this world, I've been awake 2 days prior to that because my grandfather died. We had family over and all this other stuff. And just like any of my crowd, we don't die in the morning time. We die in the evening time, and then we up all night. Even the ones that die. So after 2 days awake, then we got a child coming. And of course, like all children, they don't come when they're supposed to. Is that right? They just show up. Get used to it. They do that the rest of their lives too. They just show up. Usually hungry. But I see that the Holy Spirit of God strengthens us. He helps us. And when He's doing a work in our lives, guess what? He has to be the strength to keep us going. The hardest thing I ever did in my life up to that point was preach my grandfather's funeral that coming Sunday. You know why? I wasn't ready for it. I had no clue. I'd been pastoring for 2 weeks when this happened. Been awake 2 or 3 days, and then finally I get to go to sleep and I wake up, and it's like, oh yeah, it's time for grandpa's funeral now. So I thought, I got this. Got this. Got up early in my Bible, couldn't hardly talk, crying, everything. It's been hitting. My grandpa's dead. There he is. Man, it taught me about biology. Fifth grade education taught me about biology and plants. He's gone. Taught me how to help me learn how to drive with old 63 Ford Galaxy 500. And you talking about something to burn these cars off the road now. Ooh. He said, easy, boy. Don't get in that carburetor. Did you wear seat belts? No, we didn't have to back then because you'd sling yourself all over the car if you wasn't careful with them things. But you get up so fast, that thing would pin you to the back of your seat and you couldn't move. G-force, right? I'm sitting there trying to preach to this man, trying to tell all this stuff, and he's coming out like this. Finally, I just give up. Sit down and let them other guys preach. And I went back and I said, Lord, I didn't have the strength to do that today. And the Lord pointed out the reason I didn't have the strength to do it is because, well, I wouldn't rely on Him to do it. Oh, but when Grandma died about 7 years later, when Grandma died, it's a different story. Because by then I realized something. The strength of Christianity is the Holy Spirit of God. And on the way to see Grandma in the hospital, the Lord said, pull her on the side of the road. I want to give you what to preach at her funeral. I said, Lord, she's not dead yet. So I pulled over on the side of the road knowing I'd never see my grandma again. Got to the hospital, she's gone. had a message in my Bible to preach a funeral and ain't even asked yet. But fortunately for me, no matter how much my family may love or hate or dislike me or want me or whatever else, she had down that she wanted me to preach her funeral on the same way Grandpa's was done. But there's going to be one catch this time. I was ready for this one because I had the Holy Spirit of God give me strength to do the thing. You know what happened at that funeral that day? Every preacher in this town that talked about me like a dog was sitting right where y'all are. And the Holy Spirit of God gave me the message to cut through all that stuff. You talking about a strange turn of events. I had three people speaking after the funeral. Three. There's 170 people in that building. So who was they? One of them was the guy that owns Vic's Tire up there. The other one was his mama. And the other one was my stepdaddy. That's it. You know this fake stuff that people, oh, what a great message for you. I didn't get none of that. That's three people. One, two, three. My wife wouldn't even speak to me that day. I mean, it was bad. But I'm telling you, God uses that to give you strength to be able to do what He wants to do. You see, that particular day, all those preachers out there that said anybody can go to heaven, whether they're a Jehovah's Witness, a Mormon, a Catholic, or whatever, that's a false statement. You don't go without Jesus, period. I don't care what you call yourself.
Yeah.
I was able under the ability of the Spirit of God that God called to my remembrance how Grandma used to run off the Jehovah's Witness because they was a cult.
Right.
You didn't listen. They got out, they didn't get out of the car, come knocking on the door, talking about we want to talk, we have a bite. No, she got out there at a broom and started running them off. Get back in your car. You ain't got no place here. We love Jesus Christ and you have no place here. And when the cute little Mormon boys come by on little 10-speeds, she'd tell them, don't even stop rolling, keep her rolling. If they'd have got close, she'd have stuck that broom in that and them tires, folks. I said, for all y'all that say any different, God still says Jesus Christ is the way, the truth,
right,
and the life.
Amen.
I learned that early on. I didn't do nothing with it when I was 24 years old when God began to do him, but I knew that thing back as a child. Ain't that something how God can work all that stuff out? So what'd that take? That takes the strength of Christianity to be able to stand up in the face of evil like that and preach on it. Bible correctors, Bible deniers, people that hate your guts. You want to get up there and call in names. Instead, I just preach the book like God said. You got the strength to do the thing. He'll do that for you. When you need Him the most, He'll be there to give you the strength that you don't have. There's one more little strange story I want to tell you about. Most of you know Billy and Kimberly Elder, and he's pastor over there at Silica Springs. I forget what happened, but I had to go out for something for somebody in the hospital. It might have been my Grandpa Little when he was in bad shape one time. But anyway, we was up all night. Something happened that morning. I had to go back out. And all I could think about is when I get home, she's got dinner cooked. I'm eating and going to bed. I get one bite in my mouth. Here's Billy calling. Kimberly needs to talk to you. I said, why can't she talk to you? She said, because she wants to talk to you. You're a pastor. And he wasn't pastoring yet. I said, well, you got a Bible. Why don't you talk to her? I mean, I was trying to get out of this thing every way I could. You understand, I'm working 48 hours without sleep. I don't do well without sleep. Ask anybody. I become somebody else. I'm Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde without sleep. I want to growl at you after about a day. And I get over there, and I got in there and talked to her, and I said, I was almost like, what do you want? But I didn't, calmed down. I said, why have you got to talk to me today? She said, because I think I'm lost. There's me feeling like a fool, ready to bite her head off. Well, why don't you just get saved then? That's all. Why don't you just get saved? She said, okay. Let her to the Lord right there. She got baptized right here in this baptistry. You know what I did? I didn't shout and run around the house and laugh. I went home and went to sleep. God said, that's why I had you wait for all of this time. Now have some rest, my son. Don't you like it when God works in things out like that?
Amen.
Now, here's the thing. He is the source and strength of Christianity. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.